I know, that's a tall order.
And you're very welcome to send in your entire testimony and further comments. This is the beginning of the conversation.
The next four, we're going to have to go with Justin Zellner. He has some daycare issues. Okay. And then we'll take Lisa Watson, Debbie Kitchen, and David H. Louie.
Okay. Welcome.
My name is Justin Zellner. I'm the president of Venture Portland. I'm a father of two children and live in East Portland. And I grew up with a father who was a roofer and lived just above the poverty line. And he is still a roofer. And I know very well, and this is a very near dear discussion item for me, because I watched him work sick many times, 6 to 7 days a week. Today, approximately 50 unique business districts neighborhood-wise here comprise over 18,000 businesses and 250,000 employees that thrive in Portland. Since 1986, Venture Portland has supported these critical commercial corridors. In the short amount of time that we have had this proposal, it has been made, since it's been made publicly available, Venture Portland has reached out to nearly all of our business districts and their business members for feedback. Nearly 90% currently oppose the coordinates as currently drafted, and have provided valuable feedback to us, which we will forward and be part of the process. Additionally, we have encouraged all to be involved. Some of them are here, have provided testimony today. I feel that the ask, which I'm about to make in a moment, was already supported somewhat by your formal rollout today by your office, Commissioner Fritz, with Tom's comments during the presentation that on several things that he popped up, there was more work to do. Also related to the cost of the administration of this, as a former HR administrator, I would urge all of you to protect our city's budget. I think we may be grossly underestimating the amount of cost imposed with wage and hour. And Boley, the administration has been around a long time. Small paragraphs have taken decades to write, and they still may not have the right intent. While I understand some of our local business leaders are supporting the goals of this legislation, we need to make sure that we are actually staying away from those unintended consequences, which were rolled out earlier today, and I won't go into those. We ask for two things. One is to slow down. We need the process to ensure that all of our volunteer-run organizations and all of the business community have an opportunity to have a voice into this. Just to give a little bit of perspective, we talked about a plastic band bag for nearly 5 years here. The timeline proposed for adoption by City Council is too aggressive, and we will not avoid unintended consequences. Additionally, as Commissioner Fritz has also stated, this belongs at the state level, and I agree. If approved by the City of Portland only ordinance, we will inevitably create enormous administrative and legal complications that need to be significantly discussed, and this doesn't help people like my dad and other communities. And it has the potential harmful impacts of inter- and intrastate commerce. We need to consider those things. With and only with the impacts and the discussion with the private sector and the business community, can we only get to a place where we're going to be built, mutually agree onto something. We think you should slow down. We think this should be a state issue. And I want to thank you, specifically Commissioner Fritz, for allowing Venture Portland to be a part of the conversation.
Thank you.
Great. I'm Debbie Kitchen, co-owner of Interworks General Contractors, which specializes in residential and commercial remodeling. Thank you for the opportunity today to speak on this issue. I have many concerns about the mandatory paid sick leave proposal and would also urge that you slow down the process and allow more businesses to be involved in discussing this and learning what it means for their business. As a business owner, I do think it's very important to provide paid sick leave. We do for our full-time employees. We have paid time off, and we provide 6 days in the first year, 9 days in the second year, and 12 days in the third year. So we are committed to providing this for our full-time employees, as well as 100%, we pay 100% of their health care premiums for their health insurance. I think one of my concerns about this policy is I feel it's a disproportionate cost on part-time employees. We currently have 3 part-time employees, but that's kind of unusual for our business. Before the recession, we very seldom hired part-time employees because there is an administrative overhead for each employee that you deal with, and it wasn't as workable for our business. However, with this fragile recovery, part-time is a bridge to full-time employment for employees and for more prosperity. So I really urge you to consider the timing of this, as we are still in a recovery phase and the administrative burdens and the cost on part-time employment are a little overweighted, I think, compared to what the proposal requires for full-time employees. Finally, I would say that there are lots of different kinds of businesses. We need flexibility for this. You know, if you look at the restaurant industry, there are a lot of part-time employees there because guess what? Customers insist on having their meals during mealtimes. That creates a lot of fluctuation in the demand for when you need employees in the restaurant. It's just part of what their business is. But many businesses face different costs, different competitive environments, and different cost structures within their business. So I think we really need to have some flexibility and also the time to consider these issues. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you.
I'm going to read as fast as I can. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and commissioners. Thank you for the time today. My name is Lisa Watson, and my husband and I own a small business in Portland called Cupcake Jones. Let me start by saying that we're among the 60% who already provide our employees with unconditional paid time off that's tied to the number of hours they work on average. We also pay for approximately 80% of their health insurance premiums and prescription drug coverage. So clearly we recognize the importance of healthy employees. But let me emphasize, we chose it as soon as we could afford it. It should not be required by the city or any government entity. I believe that the proposal to require businesses in Portland to provide paid sick leave puts an undue burden on an already struggling portion of brave risk takers who are creating jobs for this city and its residents. Today, I speak on behalf of my friends and colleagues who have reached out to me in the last week to say they simply can't afford this. They've told me that they would have to decrease hours, eliminate their charitable giving programs, decrease or eliminate other employee benefits like health insurance, and if they've already done all of those things, some would have to shut down. These friends and colleagues aren't here today because they're working in their businesses. The time and expense for keeping up with all of the city, state, and federal requirements on small businesses is enough. This mandate would create much more work that takes time away from me working to grow my business. Like many business owners, I am the HR department. Let me put some real numbers behind this. First, I think that the 1 hour per 30 hours worked ratio is an incredibly high one. This means that an employee of mine would only need to work an average of 23 hours a week, and I would be required to pay that employee for 40 hours of time off per year. To be fiscally responsible, I would need to be prepared at all times to pay for 440 hours on my payroll each year with no productivity. We also provide paid time off, but it's computed equitably based on the average number of hours worked. The 1 to 30% ratio just doesn't work in our industry with employees like students who want and need to work part-time. Also, in order to grow, we reinvest 100% of our net profits each year back into our business. That net profit reinvestment would have been cut in half under this requirement. Is that the message that council wants to send to small businesses? A mandate that can result in a 50% decrease in the net profit of a small business. Small business owners simply can't afford the time and money this will cost us. I would prefer to see our local government do what the federal government has done, which is reward small business owners who do the right thing, like the federal tax credits that I receive for the insurance I buy for my staff. I encourage council to create a small business incentive or certification for good employment policies. Mayor Hales, you were quoted in the Willamette Week article yesterday saying, we have to demolish the fiction that there's always a little money stored away in a box someplace in City Hall. And if you push hard enough and lobby loud enough, they'll go find that box and pay for your favorite program. I wish that were the case, but that box does not exist, or if it exists, it was emptied. Well, commissioners and Mayor Hales, the same rule applies to our businesses. Let's demolish that fiction, too, that businesses can go find that box and pay for more policy mandates. We are emptied as well. Please consider carefully how you move forward with this proposal. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you for letting me speak.
Press the button there on the base.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for this opportunity, Mayor Hales and commissioners. I just wanted to second everything that these people have said.
Just state your name for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm David Louis from Huber's Restaurant. And I just wanted to say that I remember when my parents were working at our restaurant, and it was very difficult. They worked 6 days a week, 10, 12 hours a day. And if they had all the stuff that the city is requiring, the state is requiring, they would have never made it. And, you know, and I'm thinking that this is going to cost jobs in Portland. You know, what good is it going to do if these people that are saying, oh, we want paid sick leave, but they lose their job. That's not going to help anybody. So I'm just hoping that you'll think about that when you're taking your vote, that a lot of people are going to lose their jobs because they can't, the business owners can't make it. That's just all I had to say.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Actually, questions, Mr. Louie, on the as to the restaurant industry specifically, isn't there an argument that is particularly important? Oh. My apologies. Isn't an argument that's particularly important to have paid sick leave there because you don't want people who are sick preparing or serving food to people? And isn't there also an argument that there's less of a danger that people would abuse paid sick leave in the restaurant industry because a lot of your employees are tipped employees and they live largely on their tips, so they're not going to stay home if they're not really sick?
You were asking that we should, and we do encourage people to stay home. We don't want them to come to work sick because of all of the reasons that have been brought up here. This lady here does, we provide vacation pay with that, you know, they can use that time off to recover from their illnesses, and they do that. And we have a little fund that we have that, employees contribute to for people that are long-term, that have long-term problems, that it's not a lot, but it's a little bit of an assistance. I'm hoping that we can contribute more to that fund, but we're not going to be impacted, but I'm thinking about a lot of people that used to be like my parents that used to work so hard, and I just see more and more businesses going out. There was a Morningstar Cafe closed down, and who would have thought that Romano's Macaroni Grill would have closed, but they closed, and McCormick and Schmick's had to be sold because they were losing money. People think that we're rich because, oh, well, we have a successful business. Well, I'm not rich. I drive a 1999 Subaru. And
is it, when you just said you wouldn't be impacted, I just want to make sure I understand this. Is that because if you simply converted your vacation policy to a paid time off policy that and it provided the minimum benefit, it would not cost you any additional money to comply with this?
That's what I'm thinking, that we wouldn't be impacted because we provide the vacation, you know, we 40 hours, and or actually sometimes we have, it isn't 40 hours, actually. Some of the people are part-timers, so they get, you know, an average of what they've worked for the last year. So maybe it isn't 40 hours, it's 30 hours, but then according to your ordinance, I think I'd have to pay them 40 hours.
May I be allowed to address this issue that Commissioner Novick brought up of people coming into work sick? Just this moment on Facebook, somebody said, I'm never going to Cupcake Challenge because they make their employees work sick, which we've never done. Two of my employees are here. We don't do that. I don't think you have to in order to operate a successful business. All of our employees, when they're sick, they stay home. I cover for them. Their fellow employees cover for them. We never allow people to work sick.
Thank you all. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Okay, next four, please.
Are Dr. Joseph Santos Lyon, Brian Schneider, Eva Ripito, I believe his last name, and Tara Murphy. And they will be followed by Jane Leo, Bob Huckabee, Brian Alfano, and Gay Herrera.
From the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon. Thanks for the doctor sign. So first wanted to say thank you to the commissioners and to the mayor for bringing this forward. Thank you to Commissioner Fritz for making this a priority. Also thank you to the mayor and commissioner for really speaking out about this in the APANO voter guide that went out last fall to over 50,000 Portlanders that was translated into Vietnamese and Korean and Hindi and English and Tagalog and Chinese. And so we feel like we've been able to really educate many more of our community members about this important issue. Really wanted to share one letter from one of our small business owners. We've had the privilege of working with Family Forward Oregon to bring this issue out to the community over the past year. This comes from Christine Chin Ryan, who is the president of a small technology firm here and a consulting firm. And she says that as a business owner, I've offered sick leave for almost 20 years because I want to give my employees the best working conditions to do their job well. The performance is crucial to our success, and as an employer, I want to be able to retain my best employees. In our Asian American cultures, we place a big priority on caring for families. As a community, I believe we want to support the health and well-being of all people, workers, customers, and our families. I support earned sick leave. It's common sense to give my staff the security of being able to recover from illness or take care of a sick loved one without fear of them losing their job. Christine Chin Ryan, President, Synergy Consulting. So this is one example of a small business owner who would be affected, already has the policy, and in our conversations, she also spoke about how she wants to ensure a level playing field for all businesses, the folks who do business and benefit from all the assets that Portland has to offer for the business environment also have to play by the same rules. And as a business owner who is from Portland, who supports Portlanders, she really does see this as a way to ensure that someone else doesn't undercut her by not offering this kind of basic benefit. So with that, I want to say thank you so much. Thank you for the rigorous process, for all the forums you've hosted. I encourage those who haven't had a chance to participate and turn out to the different city forums that you've been hosting, Commissioner Fritz, to do so in the next month. Thank you very much.
This is Brian Snyder, and I am a small business owner in Portland, Oregon. I'm one of three owners of Pine State Biscuits, and we started our restaurant 7 years ago with three employees. Now we're 30 employees, two locations, with a third location still at the farmer's market where we started. So as a small business owner, I support the policy for paid sick leave. We don't currently have a policy because I think as many small business owners, we get tasked with so many things to do with our business, it's hard to prioritize these types of things. And so that's why I support a policy for it. We just successfully rolled out health care to our employees, including part-time. We have about a third of our employees who are full-time. We plan to add 12 to 15 more jobs in Portland this year, opening another location. And they're going to be living wage jobs with health care benefits. So the policy doesn't scare us from expanding in Portland. It doesn't scare us from expanding outside of Portland. And we plan as a responsible business owners to carry the policy with us. I think Commissioner Novick, you said it best when, retention, when it comes down to retention, it's a big thing for employers. And that's one of our most costly aspects of running a business. And I think we see this as leveling the playing field for restaurant employees to make those jobs less transient. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. Thank you very much for your time today. My name is Eva Ripito, and before I do my formal testimony, I wanted to let it be known to the good woman who wondered out loud about what the incentive would be for her restaurant workers. The reaction was tips, and she wasn't being hissed, so I apologize that she may have felt that way, and I think she's gone, so I just wanted it to be known. Again, my name is Eva Ripito, and I am here to represent Oregon AFSCME Council 75. Oregon AFSCME is supportive of the proposed earned sick days ordinance because it is the right thing to do for public health and basic worker protections. While we would prefer that all workers have access to paid time off, we believe the compromise for employers with five or fewer employees is good. It allows for that basic protection and the right of workers to care for themselves or loved ones when they are sick. This is a crucial step in preventing the spread of disease. For the health of our community, Oregon AFSCME urges passage of the Earned Sick Days Ordinance. Thank you. And if you have any questions, I'll take them.
Thank you. Please.
I guess I have one question, if I could. Does Oregon AFSCME intend to make this a legislative priority in Salem? And do you have a sense of whether there's the momentum to get earned sick leave at the state level?
Mayor's Commissioner Fish, thanks for the question. We will be supporting it at the state level, of course, prioritizing things, for our membership. We're supportive because it is a public health issue. And unfortunately, not all employees under a con- collective bargaining agreement have sick time, so we do urge that basic floor and hope that we can get that here at the city as well as at the state.
Thank you.
Mayor Hales, commissioners, my name is Tara Murphy. I'm the senior member coordinator with Working America, the organization that fights for good jobs, a just economy, and working families around the country. We have 3 million members nationally, 175,000 here in Oregon. 96,000 of those are right here in Portland. In May of 2012, we began talking to folks about getting sick. What happened if they couldn't go to work? What did this look like for the average Portland working family? What we found was consistently troubling. Unless your employer voluntarily gives you paid sick time, you're out of luck. The mayor and members of the council received more than 6,000 letters of support from Portland workers in November. I met with some of those who wrote letters. Anna, a young mom who works part-time while putting herself through college, and her husband, who works full-time at a restaurant, neither have any paid sick time. She told me, "I have to wake up in the morning and decide, am I really sick enough to stay home? If I don't go, that means less money in my paycheck, and that means not being able to pay bills." She told me her husband won't get sent home sick unless he's vomiting, and about the agonizing decisions of what bills they had to pay just so their lights would stay on. Their son, Leo, like all five-year-olds, wants his mom or dad to stay home with him like any other kid when he has to stay home from school, and any parent here can identify with that. I also talked to Sean, a single mom, who told me about how she had to make a decision between leaving her two sick boys at home by themselves or risk losing her job. She said, "It's just terrible when you have to count every penny you earn. When you get sick, what do you do? What choices do you have?" She told me she phoned them whenever she could sneak away to make sure they were okay, and she laughed a little when she told me how many calls that might have been, and said she probably annoyed the heck out of her boys, but her expression turned to sadness when she said, "I didn't want to leave them alone, but it was the only thing I could afford to do." She was forced to choose between her job and her family, a decision no one should have to make. I hope you've read through some of those 6,000 letters and know that this is all too common. I'm here today to speak for the thousands upon thousands of Portlanders who couldn't make it here today in the middle of a workday and who may even be coughing their way through this nasty flu season as we speak. On behalf of the 96,000 Working America members here in Portland, I urge the mayor and city council to pass the Earned Sick Days Ordinance. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Next four, please.
Are Jane Leo, Bob Huckabee, Brian Alfano, and Gay Herrera? And they will be followed by Kyle Allen, Ariel Kempf, Tony Fuentes, and Serena Cruz Walsh.
Welcome. Jane, I think you're on first.
Jane, we also have your letter, though. All you have to do is summarize it.
I'm Jane Leo, representing the Portland Metropolitan Association of Realtors at 825 Northeast Multnomah, Portland. Our association and I do appreciate your acknowledgement of my letter submitted to you earlier today. I do want to explain a little bit about our association. We have 5,500 members. They are individuals. They are each a business owner. They own their own business. So they come to this with a lot of concern, and I must say that most of them at this point in time, being in the real estate industry, are operating on fragile, narrow to zero margins. There is no more money. I come to this out of concern for them that when it comes to the administrative cost of them having to track the number of hours worked for an employee, especially since many of them are very much the small business owner employing those fewer than five employees, there's still the tracking of the time. I'm also concerned about language in the ordinance that refers to working businesses in Portland and those that specific, and that language in there that says businesses that send employees to work in Portland. Those are two different things. For my member who may be located in Tualatin, who happens to have an employee sent into Portland, per the language of this ordinance, they would be covered under having to document the time spent in Portland as to whether or not they're going to trigger the paid sick leave or the unpaid sick leave. And I also have a question regarding the fiscal impact statement. I believe it is woefully, optimistically minuscule. I don't see how it could be done at that point. If indeed the city of Portland is going to have to notify every business within the state of Oregon that if they send an employee into Portland to do anything, pick up a package, get stuck in traffic on the way home, that they're going to have to log those hours and document it
the sick leave being provided to the City of Portland. You have my other comments submitted in the letter, and I appreciate the ability to provide these additional remarks. Thank you.
Jane, just a quick question. Could you tell us your position with respect to the sick time as to whether your members are employees or independent contractors or something else?
All of the above.
Some of each, you mean?
They are.
I'm not trying to get you to do an admission against interest, but because we have litigated this question, but what is your understanding of the status of an individual broker under the definitions clause? Would they qualify as an employee, or do you believe they're an independent contractor, or does that not matter?
I am going to politely...
Or is that a question you would like us to look at?
I'm going to politely defer that question in that question is actually before an administrative rule judge at this time, and I'd prefer not to comment while that is under consideration. But specifically to your question, when it comes to the members of the Portland Realtor Association, they are compensated 1099, they're compensated W-2s, they are sole practitioners, they're LLCs, they are every model you could potentially think of that's legally allowed under law.
And so we'll do our own. I want to look at that question independently. But the other thing I want to just ask you is, what is the average size of the number of employees of a brokerage business here in the Portland metro area? How many employees?
I don't immediately have that answer for you, but I'm happy to get it.
Is it likely to be less than six on average?
However, that raises a question for me. And if I look at the Seattle model, which counts number of employees who are all under that company name, when I look at an individual brokerage located in the City of Portland, it may have the same name as that brokerage located in Tualatin because they're all under a relationship with a national entity. So how is that to be counted? And until that is clarified, I don't know if I can accurately answer your question.
Thank you for raising the question, and we're going to have some time to hopefully bring some clarity.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there are lots of different ways that work's configured and lots of different independent contractor-like arrangements. So
right.
Your members are in a particular niche in that complexity. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good afternoon. My name is Brian Alfano. I'm Vice President of Venture Portland. I'm proud father of one, soon to have a second in 2 months. And I'm also a third-generation Portlander, so this is glad to have the chance to talk here. Justin Zellner earlier spoke, and I think our key thing here is to slow down within this process and make sure that really, truly all the small business voices in the city are being heard. This has gone pretty quickly. And a number of our members have just caught wind of it and started to digest what's going on. And out of that, there have been a number of questions from a number of different businesses throughout the city. And specific concerns have come out of labor contracts, yoga, dance, or similar studios, restaurants, employment levels, and businesses that have locations or employees outside of the city. I want to make sure that we look at those things and have a deep conversation. And as we've heard from a lot of people, the national economy is down. We just implemented fats, oils, and grease, and a number of other things coming up in 2014. Timing is a big deal when we talk about this for small businesses. And then finally, I'd like to thank Commissioner Fritz for her willingness to meet with small businesses and business districts throughout the city. And we look forward to having a robust conversation around this.
That's Monday, right? This coming Monday at noon, and people should contact Venture Portland if you're a member and you'd like to be invited to that event.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Hales, Commissioners, I am Bob Huckabee, and I own First Incorporated here in Portland. We're a moving and storage firm, and our employees pretty much get the package you're asking for, but our concern with this is being a city business, we pay a lot more fees than businesses outside of the city to do business in Portland. And I put it all in the summary for you. But our city business license, just as a small example, cost us $13,600 last year. Our competitors who are from Clackamas or Washington County, theirs is $100 for a city business license and $5 per employee. That's a tough competition right there. Adding this on to us, this is an expense that's just outrageous. And as being a small business owner, I had no clue this was going on with the city. I came back from vacation, and here's an editorial in the Oregonian with what was being proposed, and it was a total shock. It will cost us $57,000 to implement this in our business. We have 47 employees. Each employee has 1 to 3 weeks off vacation according to their length of time at work. They all have paid medical, dental. We give them everything we can, but this is really reaching more because we have to hire part-time employees during seasonal times, and that's another expense, and it's also timekeeping for us. Our biggest problem with this is we go into the city or Multnomah County or Portland Public Schools, and we do a bid on your services, and we have to compete with these companies in these other counties. We're down already. We cannot go in and give their rates at what you're asking us to pay extra above and beyond them. We own a building in the city. We pay property taxes. We pay school taxes. We pay the storm water management, which I'm sure you've heard a lot of stuff about that. We pay a higher fuel tax because we're in Multnomah County. All these expenses add up and make us less competitive to government business. And we want you to reconsider it because if you're going to do it, at least exclude these other companies from bidding city contracts. I mean, we're paying your fees. Give us the break first.
Thank you. Questions? Thanks very much, all three of you.
The next four are Tom Keenan. I'm sorry. The next four are Kyle Allen, Ariel Kempf, Tony Fuentes, and Serena Cruz Walsh. And they will be followed by Tom Keenan, Peter Shapiro, Avery Lanova, and Sharon Bernstein.
My name is Kyle Allen. Thank you, Mayor and Council, for hearing us out. I encompass many of the viewpoints that have been said on my side of the aisle here. As a field manager of Working America, I speak face-to-face with our community on a daily basis. As a server for 10 years, I've worked in a business that's been around for more than 20 years. It's a chain now. During that time, we have always been paid minimum wage. Our wages have not gone up. We have no benefits, no 401k. And I'd like to say that shift trading is not a substitute for proper health reform. I also got my degree in education. I've seen sick kids be shuttled to school because their parents couldn't afford the time off. You know, I work hard here. You guys all work hard here, and I love this city. But that being said, there's a problem. And it's an absolute injustice that financially struggling Portlanders are left with no other option than to go to work with an illness or an injury, risking their health and the well-being of their coworkers, customers, and even themselves out of fear of having their hours cut or even losing their jobs. In our community, Working America had nearly 11,000 conversations and collected thousands of letters, and what we found was nothing short of heartbreaking. You know, everyone gets sick. Every family will encounter this issue in one form or another, and we can't have luck as a public policy. Now, I'll never forget a conversation that I had with a woman in low-income housing right off of Alberta. She confessed a heartbreaking story of her friend who was an elderly man in a nursing home, a man who fought for years in vain to make sure that the staff had sick time and was not exposing seniors to a life of threatening illnesses. He fought for years, and for years he failed. That man eventually passed away, and those workers never got sick time. So you see, it's not just the worker who will benefit from earned sick days as a public policy, but the public as a whole. The opposing panel has had put their focus on financial costs and fears, but they didn't address the cost of doing nothing. According to the CDC in 2010, they did a study of 31 years of data and found that 3,000 to 50,000 people in the United States alone will pass away due to the flu. And I ask, are we complacent to do nothing as illnesses ravage our city? I think that we should assure our workforce has the tools necessary to stop spreading illness. Let's assure that they can both work and care for their children. Let's assure that seniors do not have to worry about the care packages that their caregivers have or benefits. And let's take the step forward to pass earned sick days. And let's do it now.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Arielle.
I've been in and out of the food service industry for nearly 17 years, my whole working life. I've worked in a few local restaurants here in my time in Portland, one of which was 7 months that I spent at a popular brunch spot. I was working there when I injured my foot. I wasn't actually at work, but I did injure my foot pretty significantly, and I was unable to work. I really, for a week, couldn't walk. So I went to the doctor and was told that it could take 4 to 6 weeks to heal, and there was no way I could continue to work. Mostly because of the response I got once I got to work and communicated what was going on with my boss and my coworkers. I was asked to come in and to prove that I was injured, as well as providing the doctor's note. I did all I could to cover those shifts, but there were some that were not covered. So again, I echo that the shift swapping is not a solution. Sometimes people are unwilling to accommodate. After calling my boss several times, and I was met with little interest from him and my coworkers, with no solution, I decided not to work there any longer. Fortunately, my situation was such that I could make that decision, but there are many, many others who don't have that flexibility. So, you know, too many people are forced to continue working in environments where their injuries and their illnesses are minimized or ignored. You know, in an industry with no health benefits, no insurance, $100 doctor's note, no money coming in, things just pile up and pile up. So I think it's really important that this happen, that this get passed. I'm in full support, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, may I?
Yes, please. Question?
Ariel, I see in your written testimony that you said that you had a coworker at the same brunch spot who had to work an entire week with a cold.
Yes.
You've seen over and over again people who had to come to work while they were contagious.
Yes, absolutely. And handling food, that's such a terrible thing to ask people to do, you know, because you're not only risking the employee's health and your coworkers, but also the general public. I mean, considering that in some of the places I was working, 250 people coming in a day, that spreads pretty quickly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Nice to welcome Ms. Cruz Walsh back to this building.
Thank you, Mayor Hales, commissioners, and I especially want to acknowledge Commissioner Fish's office. They showed me some tremendous hospitality when I thought I wasn't going to be let into the hearing until I could get into the room, so thank you. I'm Serena Cruz Walsh, and I am here to testify in support of the paid sick leave policy before you, and thank you so much, Commissioner, for bringing that forward. I am a mother of a five-year-old at Sabin Elementary and the owner of a very small business, Albina Construction, with my husband, Tom Walsh, and my business partner, Dennis Harris. We have 4 employees. And as I learned about paid sick leave a few years ago, the movement for paid sick leave on a local level a few years ago from Andrea Peluso, I have to tell you, I was nervous. I'll give you my direct and honest response as a very small person in the construction industry. We had no doubt that we would pay 100% of our employees' health care benefits. But when she started to talk to me about this measure and, you know, would it apply to businesses our size, and she said, well, of course. And I was stunned. I thought, wow, I don't have an HR. I don't have, you know, I am it. I am accounting. I am HR. The whole thing. How does this happen? And we talked a lot about it, and I learned a lot. And I have to say that it is now pretty much a no-brainer for us. We've implemented our paid time off policy a year ago. Our employees earn a day a month, and they have 7 paid days of holiday time on top of that, as well as our health care. And, you know, I was worried about costs. We're in an industry that is challenged right now, to say the least. You all know construction and how competitive it is in the construction industry. And I know that many of my competitors do not offer healthcare, much less paid time off. And so it was a bit nerve-wracking. But when you add things up, so you add up what it costs a lot to be an employer, wages, taxes, workers' comp, healthcare, you add all of those things up to offer this benefit, which is our benefit is more broad than the policy that would be required, is about 2% of our costs. And that really pales in comparison to the benefits we get as employers. Yes, our employees are, they value that we offer that, and so there is a loyalty there, and that makes a world of difference not having to retrain folks. It means we get less sick as a company because they're not coming to work sick and making everybody else sick. And it means, quite frankly, that there are much broader impacts out in the community. When my daughter, someone in my daughter's classroom gets sick, if their parent can't stay home to be with them, then I'm going to stay home with my daughter, and then I might get sick, and then if I don't stay home, I might get the rest of the office sick. The public health ramifications are broad and deep. And so this is the right policy, and Portlanders do lots of things that are right, but this is the smartest policy. It is an economic policy. When you heard from the Portland Business Alliance that the economic future of Portland depends on your choice, I agree. This is important to our economic future. You have the potential to make it so that this one externality that's held by so many different entities, people individually by not being paid, businesses by making that choice when other businesses don't, that'll all be leveled out. And that increases the productivity for the city. It increases it enhances everything about Portland that makes Portland great. And that is in our economic interest in our future.
Serena, if I could, because we now have two new colleagues, and there's going to be a little shifting of bureaus for a few months. I just would be remiss in the mayor's and Steve's presence if I didn't acknowledge that you and your husband, your company, were the builders of Party Commons and Svoboda Court in
yes.
East Portland. And they were built with public subsidy.
Yes.
And I believe in each you doubled the city's guidelines for MWESB participation. On one of them, I think you got to 40%. And they are examples.
I'll trust your numbers there.
They're examples of affordable and sustainable home ownership opportunities in a part of our community that's often been left behind. And I just want to say the city is very proud to partner with you and Tom in your work.
Well, thank you very much, Commissioner. We take great pride in being able to work in partnership with the city and nonprofits in making housing more affordable and more sustainable. So it is our pleasure and our privilege. Thank you.
I'll push the little button in front of you. There you go.
Is it on now? Excuse me. Thank you. My name is Tony Fuentes. I am the president of the Voice Business Alliance. Voice is a 200-member local business alliance representing businesses and professionals. Voice is very much in support of this proposal. And also, I'm a small business owner, and I own Milagros Boutique. And as a small business owner, I'm also very much in support of this proposal. I thank you very much for your leadership on this. I think it's important that the city leads on these kind of issues. I think there's very much a human story here that you've heard a little bit of. Ironically, I think probably most of the workers who would like to be here and testify actually had to go back to work or go pick up kids or whatnot. But even though there's people on different sides of this issue, I pray, that there's nobody who feels that the working poor should also be the working well sick poor. And nobody wants to be served by a food handler who's there because they have no other choice than to be at work ill. As a business who has provided this particular benefit to all of its employees for many years, part-time and full-time, salary and hourly, I can tell you that it is an extremely cost-effective policy. I echo what Mary King said, as well as Jim Hauser, what Serena just said. I look back at our utilization of this over the last 9 years of being in business, and the total impact on our personnel cost has been about 1%. So again, I think that although there's a lot of concern about various skies falling, like a lot of things, the fear factor doesn't necessarily play out in terms of the actual reality or the experience of people like ourselves who have had this in place. There's been some talk about, you know, this should be a state policy or federal policy or whatnot. I am probably one of the few people in this room who actually has been to D.C. and has talked to our congressional committees and representatives in person about having a federal ordinance. I'm probably one of the few people who has talked to our state representatives about this. So it's important that we also acknowledge that kicking it up a notch, kicking it up to another authority is not the same thing as actually addressing the issue. And if you look back on health and labor standards that have been adopted in this country, it's very, very rare that the federal government comes in and solves a problem. It's rare that the state comes in and solves a problem. Too often, the leadership has to be at the local level. Even when the need is tragic and in your face. I would point to the Triangle Shirt Factory fire in New York City in the early 20th century. That did not immediately result in safety standards at the federal level. It did not immediately result in safety standards at the state level. The impetus came from the local level. And so I applaud your leadership on this issue. Now, I also want to echo what Jim Hauser said with regards to the need to have a fair and equitable standard for all businesses. As a retailer, I provide this benefit. And the benefit is very positive in terms of health care of my workers as well as their interaction with the public. However, I need to compete against larger entities that existed outside of the state. Fred Meyer and Walmart that's coming in here, who do not provide the same level of benefit. And so, ironically, I am going to be subsidizing their workers because of the lack of health care they're providing. I'm going to be dealing with higher, you know, health care costs because their workers are ending up in the emergency room. I'm going to have to compete against these people where I cannot compete on price, but I also, ironically, will be providing a subsidy for their businesses. This is the kind of need for a fair and equitable standard for all businesses in this community. And this is why I support it as a business owner. This is why Voice supports it as a business alliance. And we are here to help you implement this as quickly and as effectively as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank
you. The next four are Tom Keenan, Peter Shapiro, Avery Lenova, and Sharon Bernstein. And they will be followed by Linda Palmer, Kimberly Johnson, Jeff Anderson, and Brian Barnett.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Where's this button? There it is. That's fine.
It's already on.
Hi. I'm Tom Keenan, president of Portland Bottling. I'm here because I oppose this legislation as it's written. Portland Bottling provides all the things that it says you want to do, but we provide them differently. And we provide more than it is here. But the problem is, there's a number of reasons. The process. I expect more from the city council, from our city council, because business was not included to make this a workable solution. Number two, part-time employees. There is a workable solution, but it is not the same box as full-time employees. Third, 1 hour for 30 working hours does not work. 6 weeks or 240 hours does not work. Abuse under those situations will be rampant. I believe in this council, and I believe in the cause. We support it from that angle. But don't let us down because the cause is good. It's the solution is written that is not. And as a couple of sick notes, I hope the council is aware that sick days will be added to workman comp days. So whenever you pay for a sick day, it adds to the days of work that you have to pay workman's compensation on. So that is an expense that I don't think anybody has brought up or thought about, but that is a truism. And number two occurred to me today, if San Francisco averages 3 days, why are we doing eight? If that's all the people are using, why are we going for eight? And I also have a problem, my last point is regard to the accrual. If you can't use more than 40, why are we accruing more than 40? I don't quite understand that. Maybe someone can explain that later on, and I will be hopefully, as Commissioner Fritz knows, available for work sessions or whatever. And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, and I'll be in touch.
Welcome.
My name's Avery Lenova. Mayor Hales and members of the City Council, thank you for the opportunity to share my views today. I've worked at my current job as a dispatcher for a cab company for 13 years, and before that I drove cab for 7 years, mostly with one company. But still, after all of these years, I only get paid sick leave after I've been out sick for 3 days. I can't afford not to get paid for 3 days. So if I get sick, I take medication to mask my symptoms, and I go to work. It's hard to get better this way, but I have no choice because I really can't afford to lose a day's wages. As you know, this is a terrible year for colds and flu. When I caught the chest cold that was going around, I had to work. It's difficult to answer phones when I can barely talk, with coughing fits that last up to 5 minutes. not to mention all the germs that I was spreading to my colleagues. Had I had sick time from the first day of my illness, I could have stayed home and gotten over the worst of it before returning to work. And it's not just me. Where I work, lots of people come to work sick because they can't afford to stay home. There are single parents and families for whom missing a day's wages means going without food. This isn't right. Everyone needs to be able to take paid sick leave when they're sick on the first day they're sick. A few days ago, I created a petition online with change.org as a way of asking others to join me in letting the city council know that we want and need a paid sick days law in Portland. In just a couple of days, the petition has collected over 1,000 signatures. The working people of Portland want and need paid sick days. I will be delivering their petition to City Hall soon, and I hope you'll act on behalf of all of us by voting to pass this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you for creating the petition that sends this responses to you. Many of the petitions that we get, sometimes from change.org, send us individual emails, which then it makes it really difficult for me to find the other email. So I very much appreciate it. I'm glad to hear that change.org does have that option that you get the responses, which then you can send them to us as a summary. That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hi, welcome.
My name is Sharon Bernstein. Mayor Hales and members of the City Council, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I work for Family Forward Oregon, one of the community organizations that have been talking to people in Portland about paid sick days for the past couple years. I have personally talked with workers in a variety of industries, from retail to restaurants to grocery stores to offices to hospitals to construction to hair salons to nursing homes to schools and more. During this time, I heard about parents who had to leave their young children in the hospital because they had to go to work and would get fired if they didn't show up. I heard about kids going to school sick and spending the day there, sleeping and even throwing up because their parents couldn't come get them without risking losing their jobs. I heard about a mother of a seriously ill infant who was fired for taking too much time off. I heard about workers calling in sick and promptly being fired. One woman told me about her experience working for a large retailer where workers are not only paid for sick time but can also be fired if they have too many absences, so they come to work sick all the time. This woman recently got sick but couldn't afford to stay home, so she kept going to work. She got sicker and sicker until she ultimately ended up in the hospital with pneumonia and a staph infection and nearly died. This woman would love to testify today, but is scared to do so because she could get fired and needs her paycheck. If you need to verify her story, I can give you her contact information at a later point. But please remember the seriousness of this situation. And this woman is not alone. There are many others like her who would love to be here today but are not because they are scared. Either they have been directly threatened already because of their engagement with this issue, or they fear that they will be threatened and will lose their jobs. They have good reason to be fearful. National research has confirmed what these workers know to be true. A 2010 survey revealed that 16% of workers had been fired for taking a day off work because they were sick or needed to care for a sick family member. With no right to paid sick days, these workers have no recourse when they are fired. There is a myth out there that low-wage and/or hourly workers are irresponsible, not to be trusted, not deserving of, or somehow just not needing basic labor protections like paid sick days. I am here today to tell you that this myth is just that, a myth. Low-wage workers are committed to their jobs and to their families just like anyone else. But without access to basic things like paid sick days, it is much, much harder to manage. When they are sick, they have to work sick. When their kids are sick, they have to send them to school sick, and they go to work worried about their kids. I believe all workers deserve the basic labor protection of paid sick days. Paid sick days will improve worker and public health by giving people the ability to stay home and recover when they're sick. It will improve economic security among the large number of people in our city who are living paycheck to paycheck and can't afford to not get paid for even one day. It will improve job security among the workers who are currently in danger of being fired if they take sick time. I urge you to act quickly and pass this long overdue law in Portland. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Next four, please.
Are Linda W. Palmer, Kimberly Johnson, Jeff Anderson, and Brian Barnett. They'll be followed by Casey Jama, Kamso Shura, Nicole Brown, and Kayla Hernandez.
Hi, my name is UFCW Local 555. I work for Fred Meyer. Many of these points have been very well covered today. I'll keep it brief. I have seen fellow employees just recently come to work with fever, the flu, and of course, several others went out with it as a result. Many of these employees are part-time, so the sick pay, if you have to wait 3 days, schedule days, see a doctor, it's really not an option. That's the wolf at the door for the employees. You lose money. One day is 20% of your work's pay. You don't rest. You don't get sufficiently well. You get secondary infections, especially with this severe flu we've been having. That's the termites in the woodwork, I'd say, because as a public issue, a societal issue, bacterial resistance is becoming much, much more of a problem. And if you're giving people antibiotics, which should be used sparingly to reduce this problem with MRSA, you're increasing the probability of many more resistant strains in people with pneumonia and other things that do not respond. So it's not just us poor, low-paid retail people. It's a societal risk, too, when you're propping people up, pushing antibiotics on them, shoving them back to work when they've gotten sicker than they needed to from not being able to stay home and prevent the whole problem, support the immune system. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm Jeff.
Sorry, you didn't mean to trick you.
I'm Jeff Anderson, Secretary Treasurer of United Food and Commercial Workers, Local 555. This is a very important issue to our members of our union. We have a lot of folks that we have a lot of people that have issues in terms of whether there should be a sick day policy, but I would submit to you that it is very, very important. You know, you just heard from one of our members given a very candid view, and it's one that I think is courageous because we have a lot of people going to work sick today in this industry, and we need to nip it in the bud. I mean, it really needs to be a public purpose policy that says health care, affordable access to health care is very important. Needless to say, I would like you to listen to one of my other members, Kim Johnson, who has, I think, a very compelling story. And I think that I'm going to step aside, if you would, to let her tell you her story, because I think it's something that has to be in the record that we're going to do something about this problem. And with that, Kim.
Hello, my name is Kimberly Johnson. I work for Fred Meyer. I handle food. Recently, a week ago, I had one of my children sick. I was called in sick, took her to the doctor. She ended up with double ear infections. The next day, my son was complaining of his ear hurting and coughing and being sick, and I couldn't afford to take another day off of work. I had to send him to daycare. I had to go to work my full shift, and then take him after I was done working to immediate care, in which he ended up with an ear infection and also some fluid on his lungs. So he's also on antibiotics and also has to take an inhaler for that. I do have to go and take him to the doctor again sometime this week, which I can't afford to do, to possibly get chest x-rays to see if it's pneumonia. I'm hoping that that's not the case. I'm hoping the antibiotics work because I really can't afford it. Another thing that I noticed, which was I thought quite interesting, the day that I took off to go to my actual provider for my daughter, there was two people in the waiting room. The next day when I took my son to immediate care after work, there was about 40 people there with their sick kids, and they're all coughing. And that is a public health issue right there. If people can't afford to go to their primary care provider to get well, they're going to go to the emergency room. They're going to go to the immediate care it's going to be on the taxpayers, and there's a potential for it to just keep going and going and going. I also, you know, putting them in daycare, I just risked other kids and their families and their parents. So it's a huge